Is this going to be video?
Yeah, we usually do video. Oh yeah, I should have asked that. Are you cool with us putting video podcast onto the Patreon?
Yeah, that's chilled me.
Okay. Awesome. Appreciate that. All right, cool. All right, I'm gonna kick it off. It's been about a month, I think, since I've done this, so let's see if I can still do it in one shot. Ladies and gentlemen, trans and non-binary punks of all ages and denominations, welcome back to another episode of Not Just a Phase, and thank you for joining us in our fourth season. If you're new here, let me get this out of the way really quick. We're online at notjustaphase.net. We're on Instagram and TikTok at notjustaphase worldwide. We're on Twitter at NJAP worldwide. And we have a Patreon with video podcasts and bonus content if you want to help support the expansion of our podcast and the Blogspot and all the other content we create for you. Please check that out. And a big shout out to our video editing team at Blocko Media, who are also the boys from Modulo Lunar. Make sure to check them out and give them follow as well. Joining me back on the mic to co-host today's episode is Vicky. She's the vocalist of Rescue Cat and now Nukes Over Last Summer. She books shows in Italy. She writes for many music publications. She chats on podcasts. She's making memes. Honestly, her resume is overwhelming at this point. So just go check her Instagram, which is currently at Vic Meets Razor. You'll find all the links to all the stuff she's cooking up right now. And she's going to introduce our guest today.
It's so funny. Every time we do one, there's another thing that you have to add at this point. It's so exhausting. I'm so sorry, man.
That's why I'm like, you know what? Just hit up her Instagram at this point.
Okay, let's go. Our next guest is a staff favorite and scene treasure. Her and I are on year three of our interview streak, and witnessing the growth of the band she fronts is the ever-giving gift. It was so satisfying to see Sea Space Cowboy move up ranks from up-and-coming metalcore act to keep on your radar to back in 2021 writing their first ever cover story when The Romance of Affliction came out to critical acclaim all the way to the year and now. New album, Coup de Grâce, that's how you pronounce it, I guess, is freshly out. Endless tour life gears are running, and this still is that band that I will never stop betting on. So it's time to catch up. Let's all welcome Connie. How are you, girl?
I'm good. I'm tired. We still recovering from like the 8 weeks of touring we did, whatever, to like celebrate the release of this record. But recovering, getting ready to go out on the Devil Wears Prada tour and all that fun, doing design stuff at home and all that shit.
So, just to begin, for the listeners, please, would you mind stating your name and what role you play in your band?
I'm Connie Scarbosa, and I am the vocalist, or one of many vocalists. I'm the standalone.
Okay, so do you listen to any podcasts in your free time? We just mentioned that you did your fair share, but have you ever listened to some or this one?
No, I don't really listen to podcasts. I'm pretty bad at it. I'm really just like a play music person. I don't know why, because you would think that I would just love to like throw it on while I'm just like doing work or whatever, but yeah, I get lost because my mind just like starts to wander.
So, yeah, outside of music, and that includes like both making it, touring, and all the work you do, doing art direction and graphic design and stuff, are there any other passions that occupy your free time when you have free time?
I actually recently got back into like skating a lot. So that's something that I like kind of do like almost every day. There's a park like right by my place. So I'll usually like go out in the morning and skate or meet up with friends and do that. Other than that, I like to take a lot of walks. I'll walk like 5, 6 miles a day, just like listen to music and just like kind of meander around my little town.
Do you look for
What?
spots to skate when on tour?
Yeah, when I can. I mostly skate like pools, so like that I kind of need like a park, but like I like find little stair sets. I always bring my board with me on tour. I sometimes I'm really bad and I'll just leave it in the trailer till next tour because I have like another board here. But like I'm also like always kind of careful because I don't want to like hurt myself. Because I've toured with like a broken arm before and it wasn't the best experience of my life. Had to go to Australia with one and ended up just like taking my splints off so I could go swimming and shit.
But you broke your arm skating or
No, I
wash?
broke my arm crowd killing.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, no,
It's also your second time breaking your some of your limbs, I think.
I sprained my wrist when we were in UK last when Coldrum was playing Burn It Down Fest. So I have a bad track. I used to like be pretty good about it, but like with this band, like I have a bad track record of like getting hurt. Like this band has given me multiple scars, stitches in my face, and then now I'm breaking arms at local shows and spraining my wrist, moshing to my friends.
You were mentioning your design work there. Do you have like a favorite design work or any aesthetic that you've created for a band?
I mean, I really like what I did for like Cowboy, I guess. That's like my current like favorite. Because it was like such like a big like undertaking to like do like that specific aesthetic. Like it's like easier to do like, oh, we're just gonna like color theme it. We're just gonna like make it like barren or really cluttered, or we're gonna like steal from like indie rock pop culture shit. But creating an entire like thing based around like noir and like cabaret and burlesque was like a pretty big undertaking, getting like all the outfits together for everyone and like working with artists on like nailing the look between like post-hardcore and like these like vintage posters from like back in the day, of like actually like we use like actual like burlesque and cabaret shows as like influences for like a lot of the stuff that we did. I'm working on some ones currently that I think I really like, but like that one as it stands, like my all-time favorite, just because of like how close to me like that like vibe and like the media that it depicts that aesthetic is, and like just like the satisfaction of like finally like seeing it all come together. Because the whole time I was wondering if we could even get it done, if it was even like possible. Just because the album like started as a visual idea and then the music kind of came after that. So it was like really important to me to like nail that core look.
You were so transitioning over to Coup de Grâce there. I was thinking it feels like the metalcore concept album that would rival the greatest concept album of all time, which would be A Fever You Can't Sweat Out, in my opinion. That was also done by Matt Squire. And it gives
Yes.
off some of the same theatrical vibes throughout the album to me, like with Red Wine and Discontent, lyrically and instrumentally being the best example I can think of, aside of the interludes and intro. Is there more bands and art that inspired this whole concept that you could get into?
A Fever You Can't Sweat Out was like a big influence. Moulin Rouge was like a big influence too. I took from like Frank Miller's like writing style in like the Sin City graphic novels as like a template for like how to like tell all these stories of like revolving around like a city and like have that be your like backdrop, this like city on fire, and how you just like tell all these interconnecting tales in between them. And then like a lot of like old noir films and such too were like big ones. And like yeah, like working since like Fever You Can't Sweat Out was such like a big influence. Like working with Matt Squire was really, really cool because like that wasn't something that we even really thought could happen. It just like worked out perfectly to where Pure Noise asked us who we wanted to produce the record, and we were like, it would be great to work with the guy who did A Fever You Can't Sweat Out, because that's where we're taking a lot of influence from. And we were told he'd already asked about working with us, so it just kind of like was like the perfect, all right, cool, like let's do this.
It's an awesome coincidence. Now, you've said before through I don't know how many podcasts I sat through the last couple of days listening to you chat that CU Space Cowboy is always like changing their sound pretty much every album, right? To just do whatever y'all feeling at the time. So with this new album moving into a slightly more poppier territory, is there a possibility that one day we get a CU Space Cowboy album that doesn't have a shitload of breakdowns and screaming on it?
I mean, it's for sure possible. That's like the thing with like Cowboys. We don't really like think about what we're gonna like write till it's like about time to do it. Like theoretically, like it could go either way. We could like write like the heaviest record we ever have, or we could write make like get the most like kind of dancey poppy record we've ever made. Like with the band, we never really, to us, there is no like cowboy sound outside of like little elements. Like, of course, like there's gonna be sass and there's, you know, that's about, and there's gonna be some like chaos. Like that's about it. Other than that, like cowboy is just whatever we want it to be, whether that be like the grind era, like metalcore, like post-hardcore, like the weird amalgamation it is now. It's always just gonna be like whatever we want, just like thrown into a blender, like no matter what. And I kind of like that. I like that. Like you never really know what you're gonna get. And like people probably think it's like some like master plan, but like really, it's just always us like winging it and just like kind of like picking like for this record example, I was just like on a kick of listening to like old like dance punk and like indie rock from like the mid-2000s that I really liked growing up. And like that's how like this whole like dancey thing came about for like the new record.
Nice. So it's all spur of the moment. None of this was like a conscious decision to move that direction.
No, yeah, it was literally spur of the moment. It was literally like, cool, I had this like visual idea. What music do we really, really like? And like, oh, cool, like let's do dancey shit mixed with like what we did on Romance, and let's like just see where that takes us. And like we literally just like all came together in a cabin in the Poconos, like halfway, like we had like 10 days off between tours. We're doing back to back ones, and we just started writing. And that Chewing the Scenery was the first song we wrote. Hi, I'm Connor Scarbosa from Sea Space Cowboy. This is Chewing the Scenery, and you are listening to Not Just a Phase.
Is it this? Is it just? This is.
I was thinking, it's the first time we do like a proper interview with somebody that used to be, I guess, in Screamo, but isn't like you're not here to speak about Screamo for like on itself because your band doesn't play Screamo. However, this is a Screamo podcast, so I know for a fact that you're able to chew our ears off about the subject because you've been on a few podcasts where you were supposed to talk about Sea Space Cowboy and you ended up just blabbing about Screamo for a while. So this is the right place to do that. Recently, I saw you posting and kind of reminiscing about you and your brother Ethan's early days in Flower Shaped to Pants, and how you were playing at Che Cafe. Maybe it was like, I don't know how many years ago, but I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about those times just for the sake of Screamo nostalgia.
Yeah, I can do that. Back in like high school and shit. So like growing up, like I was like really into like 80s hardcore and stuff. And then I think like 2010 or 2011, I saw 10,000 Leagues of John Cotta at the Che Cafe randomly. It was like back when I used to just like go to shows because I was just like 15 or whatever, and that's what I wanted to do. Kind of like changed like my life, and I got super into Screamo. So I was like playing in like a Bad Ceremony wannabe band, Violence Violence what had like just came out like a few years earlier, whatever, is like the big hot thing in California or whatever. And so once I started getting a Screamo, it became this band called Avari, as like this weird amount of black, and our drummer was this black metal girl, and we were all like trying to like make Screamo together. It wasn't really working because we couldn't, they weren't really into it, blah, blah, as much as like we were. Because like Screamo had like taken over my life as like this like genre that like meant the world to me throughout high school. So then we kind of took me and Silas as like the two members, and Eric Jensen as the three members of that band, and started Flowers Hate Depends as like something that was like reminiscent of like Merchant Ships or like Boy Problems or like Make Me, because like I don't know, twangy twinkly Screamo was like the thing back then, as much as like, even though it's listened to like all of them, all the genres. And we formed the band because William Bonney was coming through. I was booking William Bonney at the Che Cafe for the last tour in 2013, so we formed the band, put out a quick demo, and I put us on that show. And then people actually seemed to like kind of care about the band, which was like weird, because like it was really terrible. It was like bad, like barely any of us knew how to play instruments and shit. We were just switching around. Drummer would play guitar, guitars would drum. It started out as like me and Ethan as like two vocalists, and then like people just kept switching around. But yeah, I mean, and it was like, Flowers existed for like a really, really short time because we all graduated high school and moved. I think me and Silas moved to San Francisco, and everybody went everywhere, and Ethan stayed in San Diego. So like that band only existed for like a year. We like put out that like 7-inch through Driftwood, Rust and shit. And and I don't know, we kind of like pretended like the band was still a band, but it wasn't. And then we, broke up quietly, and then now 10 years later, that band is popular again for some reason. I get asked about reviving it all the time, and it's kind of like bizarre that something that we were doing like that long ago, and like, 'cause like Screamo is bigger than ever now. It's insane. Like the SoCal Screamo scene is utter, like it blew my mind. Like the first time I went to a Screamo show again, like.
Do you still keep tabs of recent Screamo releases? Like, does that still resonate with you somehow?
I keep tabs. It's I think it's cool, but like it not necessarily something that like I'm looking to like find a bunch of new bands to listen to, because I kind of have like my giant fucking catalog of like being like a Blogspot nerd, just like going through Sovi's floorboards and shit like that back in the day. Like I have enough Screamo bands that mean the world to me, so I like keep tabs, but like just more as like a, oh, it's cool that this is still alive and that kids are doing this now. Kind of like how we were doing it way back in the day, 10 years ago or whatever, 11 years ago. But like Screamo, even though like what we make is pretty far removed from it now, and like the fact that I mostly like exist like in like the hardcore scene, like screamo is always a genre that like will like mean a lot to me. Like I can like instantly like see that in Loving Memory 12 Inch Behind You, because I have the exact same one, and stuff like that. So it's still something I hold really near dear to my heart. I still have I Wrote Haikus About Cannibalism yearbook and yearbook lyrics tattooed on my thigh, you know.
So there's been like, since Screamo is possibly like bigger than ever, there's so many reunions happening. Could you name off the top of your head one band you'd love to see a reunion show of, realistic or not, even if they're all dead?
I'll give you two. Codan Armada and William Bonney.
Wow, that might be the only two who haven't done it yet. There's been
Yeah.
so many older bands reuniting.
Yeah, I know. Seisha Orchid, In Loving Memory, Jerome's Dream, City Caterpillar, Page 99. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, I would like love to see like those two bands come back, because like, yeah, I've seen like Page 99, you know, I've gotten to like be in the front screaming. I've seen City of Caterpillar. I didn't really get to see any of like the Seisha or like In Loving Memory ones. But Codan Armada coming back, that's definitely one of my favorite screamo bands of all time. And like William Bonney just like holds such a near place to my heart, because like that show still remains as like one of my favorite shows I've ever seen.
That's awesome. As Vicky said, we do cover a lot of Screamo. We're not an only Screamo podcast, but a lot of our fans are, you know, that's our bread and butter around here. So we'd have to ask, and maybe this will help you. There's no chance of a Flowers reunion or maybe Meryl Streaker or anything like that.
There I mean, I'm not gonna say there's no chance. It'd be like, I don't know, like me and Silas are down to do it. I like, because I've talked to like people like Che about it too, and I'm like, I would do it, but I wouldn't want it to be just like, oh, this is like a Flowers reunion like event kind of vibe. I would just want to be thrown on like a cool show that's happening. Like, I don't know, if William Bonney go back together, I would try and get Flowers back together and be like, hey, we'll play like right before y'all. It'd be really cool, because like, I don't know, it's weird. It, like, I never really expected it. I had never like checked like whatever Spotify numbers or whatever, like if that means anything. And like I did, and I'm like, oh shit, like this band is like at biggest it's ever been. Like way bigger. Like we were playing like 20 people like back, you know, back in the day. And like to have like fucking kids, like I'm like kids, like 17-year-olds being like, when's Flowers Tape Depends gonna get back together? It's like, it's just kind of crazy to me. Especially when I'm like, well, like Cowboy exists, like
I had to ask. I was expecting a hard no, but I had to ask because I wouldn't be doing my
Streaker would
job
be
if I
hard to get
didn't.
back together. Partially because I just don't want to play bass again, because I never was that good to begin with. But there is a chance it could happen if like the circumstances align themselves. I feel like we could convince Ethan and maybe Eric to like come back and like do it just for fun.
I would love to even just get Meryl Streaker onto Spotify. So I could add it to my emo violence playlist. Like, that would be good enough. I'd be stoked on that.
I've been saying for like a year that I put Renee Descartes and Meryl Streaker and the rest of the Flowers catalog on Spotify, and I just haven't gotten around to it.
That would be something. That would be very cool. So going back to Cowboy, since that's what we're supposed to be here to chat about, they played with so many big names. Is there a name that you haven't shared the stage with yet that you'd love to be on stage with sharing a bill?
That's a hard one. I'm trying to think of like bands that are like touring, where I'm just like, I don't know, because like I don't know, for me, like I like enjoy like the experience of Cowboy, like not because of like who we get to tour with, but just like the adventure of it. So like I almost like don't sit around and like wish we could be on tour like X, Y, and Z. I'm just like, oh, this is a really cool adventure. And then when something cool like comes across like our desk, then I'm just like stoked about it, instead of kind of like sitting around and be like, damn, I wish this band would hit us up, or I wish this band would hit us up. I kind of just don't. It's like the same way that I think about it. I don't have aspirations for Cowboy. I never have. I didn't even want it to be like what it has become as like this like kind of like thing that's like overtaken my life. It was always just like supposed to be for like fun and like just this like niche little weird thing that we were doing. Cause like back then, like you didn't really have bands doing sass vocals, and you didn't really have that many bands doing breakdown shit. At least like in especially kids from like the screamo scene, like we were. So like yeah, I just like I don't really sit around like wishing this or that would happen, because it's still to me just this little like passion project that like is just like an adventure. And I don't really care if, like, there's no like measure of success or like it failing. It just like exists until I don't really have a use for it anymore. I don't really want to be on the ride anymore.
A bunch of friends that went and saw you perform Sound and Fury this summer. I had massive FOMO. I'm so pissed. It seemed to be like one of your maybe most packed, most fiery shows, I think. One for the books. Do you think that goes up in your favorite show or tour memories, or do you have like one that goes even like that's even better than that?
No, I think like Sound and Fury like tops it for sure for me, because like that's like definitely like a rite of passage, like it feels like for like SoCal bands to be like, oh, you're gonna play Sound and Fury. And like when we got the offer, it was like really, really cool, but we were always like, I don't know how this is gonna go, like I don't know, like this is a hardcore fest and we're like one of the only bands on here that has like choruses and shit like that. We just had like no idea how it's gonna go, and then like just right when we started the set, we're just like, holy shit. And like by the time like it came like chewing the scenery, like just like kind of getting just sworn by people and like having people like front flipping like over my head and shit. It was just kind of like this moment of like, oh wow, this is like one of the coolest like moments of my life for sure. It like was so crazy that Taylor, our bassist, started like tearing up. Like it was like a really like emotional, like cool thing to like be able to play something like that and to be like kind of like have a set that crazy when we're like honestly like the odd one out on the lineup regardless.
I think it was just you and Anxious maybe having choruses.
Yeah, I think it's just like the other two of us. And like I don't know, it's like cool. It's like it's cool to be like acknowledged as like part of like that Southern California scene and like part of hardcore in general, even though we are so like out of it, because like that's like the ethos that we carry regardless. Even, you know, there might be like people who think that we're like, oh, we're just like Soma core, like whatever, like Rise core kids, but that's like not like we all came from like DIY, we all came from like hardcore, and we just happen to like want to like make this like off kilter weird, you know, niche white belt sassy music now.
I mean, it's interesting to see that like the newest wave of super young kids in DIY, they look like they were inspired by the same things you were, except maybe you were inspired by them because you lived them, and they have like this nostalgia lens. They found out about like scene fashion or MySpace core, in a way that's different than you. But like I see, especially with like very young up and coming hardcore, but especially screamo bands, they look more like you and what you were trying to achieve than maybe they would look, I don't know, like Hatebreed for some reason. So I feel like somehow, even though you feel like you might not be from the same crop, you kind of were the first one to inspire whatever's coming now with super young bands.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's cool. It is really funny to me to like walk around at shows nowadays and see like a bunch of people like wearing like white belts and stuff like that. Like, it is a little like curious to me because like I remember like when we first started cowboy and stuff, being like thinking like how far into like that aesthetic we were gonna play, and I like had bought like the first white belt I'd owned since like high school, and I'm like, you know what, like fuck it, like I'm gonna do it. Like had like the black skinny jeans white belt and like the camo locust shirt, and like the side swooped like hair, so yeah, and it is funny to like see a bunch of like really young kids doing like tight ass fucking shirts with like, you know, white belts and all that, studded belts. It's just like funny. I feel like it's kind of like how like my parents looked at me when I was like super into like 80s hardcore and like kind of like was wearing like Black Flag shirts around the house, like when I was like in middle school, because like they lived through that shit, and then it's just me doing that as well.
Yeah, they were like, what do you know
Yeah,
about
pretty
it?
much. You know, it's cool. I like it. I mean, I think back to like the screamo days, like the Facebook group era of like emo and screamo, and like how annoying some like the old heads were about like what's real and what's not, and how like kids just like didn't know, didn't understand. And like I've just like made it my mission to like not be like that at all, and just to be like appreciative and like be like, cool, it's sick that like things I love are like relevant with like a whole new generation of people.
Do you think that kind of snotty attitude will ever leave? Or is it kind of doomed to be a self-fulfilling prophecy in screamo?
I mean, I don't see a lot of it anymore, but I'm also not super involved in like the new thing. I would hope that it's not there as much anymore. Like, I don't ever want to hear a debate about like how twinkly screamo isn't real screamo, or like blah blah blah, this or that, or I don't know, whatever's stupid. Like, we have to make offshoot Facebook groups because people just keep like talking shit about each other all day, and I don't know. It was a dark era, and I feel like nowadays it's more just like screamo kids are also like hardcore kids. So like you'll see like crowd killing at like a screamo show, which is insane because that would never have happened 10 years ago. know,
How do you
you
feel about that? I want
I
to
think
know your
it's
take.
sick. I think it's fucking dope. I don't know, because like I been like I don't know, like I love beatdown, I love hardcore, I love moshing. Like it's kind of cool to like see, you know, a bunch of people doing it for like a genre that like if there's breakdowns, I've always felt like, yeah, why wouldn't you fucking crowd kill Ross Jocko? Like that shit's heavy. You know, if Joshua Fit for Battle got back together, I'm definitely moshing to Opportunists. Like there's no way I'm not spin kicking. You know, it's cool. Like I never like really like I don't like really vibe with like the notion of like Screamo has to be like its own like fucking little island over here, and you can't like hardcore and this and metalcore and be in the Screamo scene. 'Cause, like that was like the way it was. There was a lot of people who like were like kind of upset when Cowboy started that like we went from like playing like this like anarcho-queer like Screamo band like Rene Descartes to like breakdowns and shit like we did, and having like moshing at like Cowboy shows in like the early days. And I just never understood like why there has to be a separation. Like I didn't know that like there was a separation for a long time. So like listen to like Zao and Poison the Well and listen to Conan Armada and, you know, Seisha, like I just didn't know that they needed to be separate. It didn't until like later. I'm like, oh, they're gonna get mad at you if you say you like metalcore and you're in the Screamo community. But it's like I'm really glad that that doesn't exist anymore, because like you should like everything. I like stupid fucking caveman beatdown shit, but I also love, you know, beautiful Screamo or like fucking like weirdo post-hardcore or grind or power violence or like whatever. I've always just liked listening to whatever the fuck I want to listen to and like being part of whatever community I want to be a part of.
Yeah,
Oh yeah.
I think just because some music it's just because it's moshable doesn't mean it's like lesser intellectually
Yeah,
or they
it's just like what you fucking like. Go to whatever shows you want. Like, be part of whatever scenes you want. Like, do whatever you want to do. I don't know. Go to some fucking shows, actually. Like, have fun. Be part of the scene. Like, don't fucking just whinge and complain and blah blah. Like, I don't know. Like, I you know play shows for like a month straight, and then I still like try to go to like every local hardcore show at, like at wherever, whatever. Like. Back fucking room one or whatever one's happening at Che.
when you were more active in your scene when you were younger, and maybe everybody was in your same niche, what were like the main pressing issues? What was it that was like the main argument of, I don't know, discontent or disagreement?
I
What
mean,
would
it was. It was mostly just fucking people who liked stuff like Conan Armada or like Dytro or like shit like that, like didn't think that like bands like Make Me or like William Bonney or like Merchant Ships or Midwest Pen Pals like Old Problems, whatever, were like real screamo. It was like they didn't like that like Twinkle was like becoming a thing. Like that was, and that's like the stupidest thing to like argue over. It's like who fucking cares? Like I like the fact that like the most like it wasn't about like discussing politics. It wasn't about like worrying about like things like in like DIY or like Predators or like whatever. It was just I don't like that there is no distortion pedal used for this one band. And I don't like that they're considered the same genre. Like, I don't know, silly, just fucking dumb shit that like thankfully do not see anymore.
so it was basically just arguing over genre and not like any pressing actual issues.
Nope, it was always just genre. There was three different like offshoot Facebook groups that started because in the US emo one, people were just saying that certain bands weren't real screamo or weren't real emo because they're like Glockamore is not doesn't sound like Indian Summer, you know. And so like there's literally like groups that were like splintering off and doing this and that, and Scram Cave
There's
was a
people
thing,
who
and
are dying right now in
yeah,
Europe.
and like people were just complaining about, you know, sound and genre instead of like actually just going out and starting a band that played the music that they wanted to hear. It's just stupid shit.
Glad to know it happens over and over everywhere in the world then.
Yes. But don't ever go and cross my heart with a knife 2.0.
Oh my God, I did actually
Yeah,
recently to see what was up with that now. Still there.
there's still people there? There's no way there's still people there.
No, I was just reading old arguments just to see, just to feel something.
Feel. So with the upcoming tour, if we're gonna do reminiscing, is there a favorite tour memory you've had so far throughout all the experiences? One that stands out?
I think that the last tour that we the headliner we did in the US, playing a lot of like some of like the same rooms that we've played with like other bigger bands that we're support to. Like Chicago, like for example, we played in the same room that we played as when we did the Counterparts tour 2 years ago. And that was like a really cool experience because like I went into that super fucking nervous. Like, holy shit, like how are we gonna fill out the room that we played with fucking Counterparts on? And then we got there and it was like insane. It was like such a cool show. Or like playing like Chain Reaction was a really, really cool one because like we'd done that before on the headliner before that, and we like sold it out, but like we literally sold out like the day of. Whereas like when we put tickets up for like this one, it sold out in like 2 days. And so like there's just like little like the moments on like that tour of like being able to see like a tangible growth with the band and like kind of this progress because we don't really get to like headline a lot. So like those headliner shows are like mean the world to me. To just get to like go out and like play our own shows instead of like always doing support ones or whatever.
Do you have like a shittiest, worst tour memory of all time?
Yes, I do. And okay, so it was we had been touring for 3.5 months straight. We had like recorded a record, went straight into a tour with Silverstein, and went straight to Europe to do We Came as Romans tour. And so we were like super tired, but it was a cool tour. Like the We Came as Romans camp and like the Cascades camp are like some like the nicest people ever. We all shared like this double decker bus together. It was really, really cool. But like the final day of the tour, we played in Glasgow at Cat House, I think, and the show had gotten moved forward an hour because we had all had to make it back down to London to like get on our flights, but the promoter hadn't advertised that, so. At the last show that we played after like being on the road for like 90 days straight without like going home or anything, we played to like three people because the
Oh, everybody
promoter,
left?
no, nobody, we were the first band. So the promoter didn't announce that the show was an hour earlier now.
Oh, so nobody has shown up
Yeah,
yet.
so we played to three people at the last.
No.
It was pretty grim. We were all very, and for this venue, you have to load up three flights of stairs. It's like the third floor. So it kind of just was terrible, and we were so over it. But we did play that same venue on this headliner that we just played, and it was fucking awesome. So like that kind of like we had like a redemption. Got to play the same venue, headline there, and it was like a really, really, really sick show. But I think that I don't think I've ever been so defeated in my life walking on the stage after we
That's
heard
the
about it.
final stroke.
Yeah, it was just like, okay, like that's it. Like, get me on the bus. Like,
Yeah.
I need to go home now.
No, terrible. But I know that the last Glasgow show, a friend of mine went and it was crazy. So
Yeah, it was really sick. It definitely, like I said, it was like our like redemption arc. We were all like, okay, we're here again. We're gonna load up those three flights of stairs again. But like, no, I still fucking ruled. It was really, really sick.
Since we're reminiscing a bit there, I always like asking some of our scene year citizens if they ever had a MySpace profile name. It's a great joke, Vicky. Come on.
I
I
hate
see.
it.
If you
No,
had
I do
a
not.
MySpace profile name, or if you can remember what your last MySpace profile song might have been.
I do not remember. I don't even remember what my name was. I had one for such a short period of time because then Facebook became a thing, and so I just switched
True.
to like Facebook. Like that was like everybody in my high school was like on Facebook. Nobody really used MySpace anymore.
Oh,
And
so you're
my
right around that era. My apologies. I thought you were a little
yeah.
older than that. So I'm still the oldest
No.
in the room as usual. Sick.
No, like yeah, like MySpace was still a thing, but like By the time I was super like heavily into social media, like Facebook and like Tumblr were like the big things.
I miss Tumblr.
Tumblr was pretty sick back in the day. I miss it
So
too.
sick. Yeah, it was so much fun. If we're doing reminiscing and looking back, what's your favorite old piece of merch?
Like that I own. Is
Yeah, I should have specified that.
it one that I bought myself, or can it be like an OG thing that like I got from somebody else?
We'll go with the OG story because that sounds close to home.
I have a youth large pink Blood Brothers shirt that's really fucking sick. I have a crazy halter, a Bury Your Dead halter top that my friend was like, he was like, I don't think anybody else in the world would wear this other than you. And he literally thought it wasn't like a legit item that they had made, but it was like an official Bury Your Dead like merch item, is like a halter top with like the full like tie strap in the back. So
Never
those are
seen
like,
that.
it's pretty fucking, if I knew where it was, I would show you. It's pretty fucking funny. I'm trying to think about like what other, like I have a lot of like records that I really that like are sitting in a storage unit in Oakland. So I had like a OG like Satia 7-inch. I have like Portraits of Past records. I have a lot of really, really cool records in my collection that I need to like go through and like get rid of, because like I was like little like 17-year-old me was super into like buying just crazy rare records and like spending way too much money on that shit.
You've said you're a self-proclaimed music nerd. Would you like, what would you consider the most niche band you listen to or have seen?
I mean, I've seen a lot of niche bands because I've seen a lot of shows that are just whatever, bands that like nobody ever like paid attention to. But I feel like currently the like the most like niche band that like I really, really enjoy right now is this band called the Stiletto Formal. They were like a really, really cool kind of like post-hardcore-y, but like with like string instruments as well, and like almost kind of like sassy at times, but like that's like a band that like I think the only person I know is who knows them as well is our media guy Joe, because he knows everything about everything because he's been around forever. He's fucking old. I love you,
He's
Joe. You're old. So like that's like
How
probably
old
like
is
I
old?
he's 37.
Okay. Oh, shit. I'm
Yeah.
33, so yeah, go on.
You got some years, don't worry. But yeah, so Stiletto Formal is a band that probably like the most niche band like I really, really dig. That like I've n only met one other person who knows who they are.
Okay, it's time for us to do a couple silly ones and then we're gonna wrap it up. First one, not very silly. What's the most illegal or dangerous thing you've ever done?
Fuck, I mean, I've
That
done
you're
a lot
gonna
of
put
drugs in my
that you'll
life.
put on a podcast that you're willing to put on a podcast. Yeah,
Okay. I've done a lot.
don't
I've
incriminate
done a
yourself.
lot
Don't
of
be dry
shit.
snitching.
Okay. Yeah. Something that's illegal but not too illegal. Let me think.
Or dangerous, whichever one keeps you safer to cross borders.
Or she could explain it in Minecraft turns like we did
Oh,
with
yes.
Sunil. Yes.
I've done like so much just like dumb shit, like clipping like locks and chains, like skate spots. Like I've done running from the police and shit. Done a lot. Like I don't know, done a lot. Like I said, did a lot of drugs before I got clean. Done a lot of stupid shit. Trying to think like the most like dangerous though. I don't know, like doing like things like climbing fucking billboards just like because I can, just because I want to.
Because
Like
I can, douche.
I used to like do a lot of stuff just like that, where it's just like, oh, I don't like give a fuck. I just like want to see if I can like do it, and like finding a ways to like get up to like the ladder, because like most of them like they have ladders, but like like way up, so you'd like find a way to get to the ladder, and then you'd like climb all the way up, and then you get up there and it's like fucking rusty and terrible, and it's like kind of like swaying like this. It's like really sketchy, but like, yeah, I don't know. It's like I've never really done like something that's like super, super, super like blatantly just like criminal other than like stealing. Like I've done a lot of stealing. I still do a lot of stealing. Yeah, probably like those like things. Like yeah, like clipping locks, like skate shit when I was younger. And like instead of like cops would roll up and we just like scatter. We'd all like take off in different directions. Like I got really good at hopping chain link fences in one go. I just reach up and I just could just throw myself over. And then yeah, like climbing billboards and just dumb shit like that.
These are crimes for the athletic ones only.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, even when I was hella skinny, I was not hopping fences. There's no fucking way. No
With
way.
shoplifting, though. Oh, you
Shoplifting
won't.
is the best way to survive on tour. I'll stand by that notion. And there are specific stores where you can just walk out. Like I'll walk out of it, like arms full, like a bunch of food, like and like a bottle of liquor, and I'll just like walk out the front door and be like, all right, these are like the people's muffins. Everybody can eat these. And like it'd be like, all right, everybody can have a shot of whiskey tonight because I just stole this. Like I don't know, it's just like fun. It's a good way to survive.
Yeah, I'm pro self-checkout now because it's so easy to steal. You just walk in
Oh
with a
yeah,
bag, you walk out with a
see,
fucking bag.
that's other
Brilliant.
members of Cowboy. Other members of Cowboy like to be like sneaky like that and like do like the whole like, oh, you like hold the thing above it so it doesn't register the
Yeah,
weight, and you just pick one thing.
yeah.
I just like to blatantly walk out the front door
Hidden
and be
in
like,
plain
and try to stop me.
the classic methods.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So I got a question I ask all of our guests. Well, a lot of people seem to think this is one of our funnier questions because it's not something I've heard people asking on podcasts yet, and I'm very excited to hear your answer. If you could punch any one person in the face as hard as you can with zero repercussions, who would you punch and why?
I think I'd punch Elon Musk because I just find him very fucking annoying, and he's just like a Trump shill now. And
Yeah.
yeah, I don't know. There's something about that man I find so fucking irritating. Like, if we're talking like one punch and not like killing somebody to like stop them from doing harm, just like getting somebody because I think they're annoying,
Yeah.
probably
Yeah.
Elon Musk.
Yeah, definitely an easy target.
She didn't
Changing.
stutter. No hesitation.
I know. That one I know. There's a lot of people I would love to beat up. But Elon Musk is like the top of the list for sure.
Yeah, that was too quick. It's amazing. Another question I like asking, what music do you listen to that could be considered a guilty pleasure? If you don't believe in guilty pleasures, what do you listen to that would surprise us or that maybe your bandmates kind of rag on you for or something?
I mean, the only ones I can think about is like listening to like Cancelers. Because like for me, I listen to like so much music. I listen to everything from like trip hop to like trap to like post-hardcore to like beatdown to like black metal to like fucking post-rock. Like I listen to like everything. So it's not like a band that like I like have like as a guilty pleasure other than like canceled artists. So like if I had to pick one of those that like I'm like a, like kind of sort of like ashamed when I listen to them, it'd be like Mindless Self-Indulgence, just because like.
I love
Yeah,
Mindless.
in middle school, like that band meant so much to me, along with like Invader Zim and like going to like anime and manga clubs like after school at the library. Yeah.
That sucks. Fuck. I'm editing that whole thing out. I'm like, I love Mindless. Ha Do
Yeah,
not know.
that's definitely a band that
Shit.
I tangibly feel guilty for listening to, but like
Ugh.
also like part of my formative years and like an era in my life. Watching like Wolf's Rain, like VHSs, and like listening to Mindless Self-Indulgence, and like watching like Invader Zim on like an iPod video with like my fucking goth girlfriend.
Those were the days.
Right.
So let's do like a wholesome one. If you could give the world a gift, what would it be and why?
Fuck the
Doesn't have to be a
world. The
material
entire
possession.
world, I pick the abolishment of currency. I don't know, or just give
Ooh.
everybody so much money. Like, it's not a tangible solution, but I would just free everybody from financial burdening. So I find that as I get older to be like the most annoying fucking thing. Not just like to deal with myself, because like I don't know, like I'm not gonna like complain. Like I do like fairly well for myself, but like I hate like seeing my friends and like worry about finances and stuff like that. And so I was just like, yeah, no more fucking money. It's just
We
like,
should print more money, actually.
I don't know if that's like the most tangible, best solution, but I would find a way to magically just get rid of the concept of you have to like fucking give money to get something, or you have to give money to live. I don't know. Find out. This is magic, so there's a way to just snap your fingers and make it work.
Wish we could just print more. I feel like that would solve so many fucking problems, right?
Yeah,
I
I
have a
can't wait to
printer
pay
at home.
$1,000 for a loaf of bread.
Yeah, the cost would just go up if we printed more. It's no winning.
Okay, so final shout outs. Any shout out to local venues, bands, workers, projects from your area?
I mean, shout out Che Cafe as always. Long live the Che. It's, a place that literally created who I am today, and it's a place that still continues to exist and has like a collective of wonderful people running it. That's I'm not really involved in it as much anymore because I don't really have the time, but I can confirm there's a wonderful group of people keeping it alive today, and like all power to them. That place is like an institution of Southern California and needs to stay. Local bands like shout out Hereditary, shout out like Anvil Chandelier, shout out Intercom. There's a really cool scene happening in San Diego right now, and it's cool because there was a long amount of time where there was not much happening. Again, it's kind of and it's cool to see like things like coming back, and like San Diego's flourishing again, which is like awesome because there was a period of time where it was not.
And as for your band, is there any goal or milestone you want to accomplish for your future? I know you say you don't have anything planned per se, but is there anything coming up this year that you're allowed to disclose?
Not really, no. Nothing that like I can disclose. I mean, my goal for the band is just to I hope it survives until we get to make a new record, because I really like the process of making music and stuff, and I really just want to see like what we decide to do next, because I have no fucking clue. And no, neither does anyone else in the band, but I really want to get to the point where we get to make a new record again.
Okay, so I think we're good. We did our
Yeah, we'll
shout
play an intro. We'll play an outro track. Outro track. Wow, I can talk. Sorry, it's not like I host a podcast. We'll play an outro track, and then we'll say our goodbyes,
Shouldn't we do the
and a
thing
huge.
where she's like, my name is, and this is blah, blah, blah?
Well, yeah, I was gonna pause it after we said our goodbyes, since trying to be a little professional
Sorry, I
here.
spoiled
You
it.
ruined it. You ruined it, Connie. Thank you so much for coming to chat with us today. It has been a blast. We appreciate
Of
it.
course, it was my pleasure.
Now I was going to ask. Okay.